Good morning, everyone. Just while some guys are finding their seats, I'll do a brief introduction. Junior youth is upstairs. Maybe they're confusing me with the junior youth. The junior youth can go upstairs. My name is Kevin. As Leonard mentioned, I've got the wonderful privilege to be part of our eldership team that leads the Durbanville, Josh and Durbanville congregation. We've got a few of the Durbanville guys here this weekend. Arat and Marilyn, quickly stand. Vanna, Nicole, and Rihanna. Where are you guys? So they're from our congregation, Vanna, Nicole, elders, and the three of them are deacons in our congregation. So it's been wonderful to have them with us. They've been part of the equip. And I know that they've been hugely blessed just being in your homes and sharing life with you. So I'm married to Lizaldi. If you can get that PowerPoint on, we'll get back to the video now. So the second slide there, that's my family, my wife Lizaldi. Middle one at the top is my son Leo. He's 14 years old, or turning 14 soon. And the little one at the bottom there is Reese. He is 9 years old. It's been about a week since I've seen them, but more than a week, so looking forward to be back home. So that's the family. And just something interesting about my relationship with Leonard. I've known him now for many years. Last week when we were here, he thought it good to play with AI and show photos of us edited on AI. And so I thought, let me have some fun with that as well. I didn't need to use AI. This is just real life, all right? And so a few years ago, I've known Leonard for, I think, roughly, how long? 17-odd years. When he was a student at the Bible school, I met him, and then he started working at our church. He led the one-year program at the Bible school. We had offices with drywalls, but there was a gap between the drywall and the roof. And Leonard's office door was closed, and we all thought he was busy preparing or doing some serious work. You know, he's leading a ministry school, leading God's house. And so we thought we would see him behind the Bible or a computer. But this is what we saw when we looked over the wall. That's right. Wait for it. Here we go. I'll make that available if you want it. No AI, that was real life. I think he was preparing to meet Carla or something. And you know, like birds do that dance, the male bird. So this morning, I'm really excited what God is wanting to do here as we're gathering. There was a prophetic word earlier in the week. I felt that the Lord said he wants to awaken the sleeping giant. Now there's a prophetic word that God wants to awaken the lion. And it does seem like God is wanting to do awakening in the hearts of every single person here in this region. And interesting, both the lion and the giants are pictures of things that make an impact. It's significant creatures. A giant is significant. The lion is significant. And I want to just say that I want you to shake off any sense of inferiority or small thinking. God is wanting to use you in a significant way. And I believe God is wanting to awaken you this morning and equip you to go back home and to make a difference, an impact. Where a lion is, people, if you see a lion, there's impact. A giant has impact. And I really do believe God is wanting to raise you up. And so may we allow the Lord to come and awaken us and raise us up to go home and make a difference. So for a moment now, I want you just to think how you feel when you see something getting wasted. Wanneer iets gemors word. How do you feel when you see that? For the fathers in the house. When you upset, that's right. When you see that plate of food or the lights on for the whole evening, you know? Or when you see That plate of food, you just had a braai. You just had some choppies and ribs on the braai. And then your wife or your children has just finished their rib or their choppy. Like, we're done. And all you see is all that meat still left on the bone. You're like, no. We're not going to waste that, right? There's that feeling of, you don't you dare throw that bone in the bin. There's still a lot of precious meat on that bone, right? Or maybe you've got that tomato sauce bottle flipped upside down in the fridge because there's still a little bit left. And we're going to get that little bit that's left. Or your shampoo bottle. Shower gel. We're going to still get that last bit. Things are expensive. I don't know if you grew up in a house like that, but we had toothpaste that my mother used to cut open. You know that. And don't you dare throw that toothpaste away. You first got to get your toothbrush in there and scoop out the remaining toothpaste to brush your teeth. And so there's that sense that we don't like when things are getting wasted. And this morning, I want to make us aware of a calling that God has called each one of us. God has called each one of us, and I want to take us to that. It's a wonderful opportunity. And with that calling comes responsibility, and with that calling comes a privilege. And I want to make you aware of that this morning. But I don't just want to give you information. I want you to realize what God has called you to. And that you would determine in your heart this morning that I'm not going to waste that opportunity. I'm not going to waste that privilege and that responsibility. Because when we see things get wasted, we get upset. And I want you at the end of this time to feel upset and willing to commit yourself to the wonderful privilege and the responsibility of this call. And so I'm going to speak about being the priesthood, how to be the priesthood. And let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, each one of us, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So here the writer is saying, we've been built in together to be a priesthood to God, a holy one, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what does the priesthood do? Well, it says here, we offer spiritual sacrifices. No longer physical sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices. From verse 6, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you believe this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And the stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, each one of you, are a chosen people, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Verse 9, you are a chosen people, handpicked by the living God, to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So it says there that we are a priesthood. What does it mean? You probably have heard this phrase, a priesthood of all believers. It's one of our values. But what does it practically mean? You know, it's one thing to know that, hey, priesthood of all believers, and then we just come here and that's our slogan and that's something that we say. But in actual fact, that means there's something to be done. And the Bible says that we've been chosen for this. And when you've been chosen, there's a responsibility. There's an honor. We had a holiday break away with a Springbok rugby player. And he was injured at the time that the Springboks were playing. But he's played in both World Cups. Oh, no, he's only played in one World Cup. And they won that World Cup. And then he missed the second World Cup because of injury. And then I asked him, how does it feel to miss it? And he said, no, it's obviously nice to spend time with the family, but you do miss it. That just being in the mix, you know? And I asked him, how does it feel to be chosen? And he says, it's a wonderful privilege. But what a lot of people don't realize is the amount of work that we need to do when we are chosen. And what he was saying is, look, it's wonderful to be chosen. It's a privilege. But with that fact of being chosen, there's a responsibility. Because with that responsibility, we need to represent the nation. We need to represent our team. And so when you are chosen, there is a responsibility with that. Did we lose the PowerPoint? Oh, it's still there. Wonderful. And so I know that when we think about priests, we think of this picture, these holy men, you know, it's like, oh. It's immediately we go there and we think it's for a select few. But this is the chosen priesthood that God has picked. You can go to the next one. That's the priesthood according to Scripture. It's every one of us that have been handpicked and chosen. So it's important to look at what the priest did in the Old Testament so that we can understand what it would entail for us. What do we need to do? And so what the priest did in the Old Testament is they ministered to the Lord in the temple. They ministered to the Lord. They gave offerings. They prepared the temple for worship, for sacrifice. And then they offered sacrifices. They represented the people, the nation, before the living God. And so their job was both to minister to the Lord and to represent the people to the Lord. And so the priesthood is to minister to the Lord and to one another. They represented, they presented themselves, and they represented the nation. And so what that means for us is we need to be a people that first and foremost present ourselves to the Lord in His service. And then secondly, we ought to represent Him to the nation and the nation or people around us to Him. And so it means to represent Him and the people and ourselves to Him. So this is the picture I want you to have. Is as a priest, we go and we present ourselves before the Lord. And then we do it again. And then we do it again. And then we represent. Re means to do it again. And we represent ourselves 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 again. You get the picture? I'm not sure if you got it, but we represent ourselves again. And we present ourselves again. We continually present ourselves to the Lord because we are His priest, there to minister to Him, to worship Him. But then we've also got a responsibility to represent Him to those around us. And we represent Him to those around us. And that was the function and the responsibility of the priest, was to represent the nation and to themselves before the Lord and to minister to the Lord. In Exodus 19, verse 6, we read, "You will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And even from the Old Testament, there was a desire in God's heart that every single one in the nation would be a priest unto Him. But now we've been grafted in the church. We've been chosen. Because of their disobedience, they rejected that. But now God has chosen every single one of us to be a priest, to minister to Him, to represent ourselves to Him, and to represent Him to those around us. So let's look at what the priest does. Firstly, we represent ourselves. We come to Him. We present ourselves. We come to the living God first and foremost. Priests are there to represent God to people. And so in one sense, there's work that needs to be done. But before the work gets done, we need to present ourselves before the Lord. It's out of that relationship that we minister to others. We read there in 1 Peter 2, it says, "As you come to Him, the living stone." That word "come" means to draw near, to draw close, to approach Him. It's a coming near. So we as priests, first and foremost, we come near to the living God. And we do it over and over and over again. I want to ask you, what is your relationship with the Lord like? Are you only coming to church to be part of what God is doing here? Or are you daily drawing near to the Lord? Because as a chosen priest, you've got what? A privilege and a responsibility to constantly go close to the Lord, to draw near to Him and present yourself to Him. It says there that we come to the living stone, the cornerstone. Now, if you built, and if you understand, in ancient times when they built, they normally had the foundation and then they had a cornerstone. And that cornerstone determined how the building would be built. And in one sense, it's saying that Jesus is the cornerstone. So I come to him as the cornerstone, the living one, the living stone. But as I come to him, I build my life according to his ways. So as a priest, I need to make sure that my life is structured and centered around what the Lord wants and his ways. So I want to ask you, do you live according to the ways of Jesus? Is he your standard? Is he the place that you base your whole life on? So the way that we love one another, the way that we serve one another, the way that we worship him, the way that we praise him, is all according to his standard. The way that I relate to the opposite sex is according to his standard. He's the holy one, so therefore I live a holy life because I'm a priest and he is my standard. He is the way, he sets the way that I live. So Jesus is our standard. He is the one that we should build our lives upon. Interesting thing, it says there that Jesus is the living stone and a cornerstone for those who are going to obey him. He's going to be the one that determines our lives. But he's also a rock of offense to those that don't obey him, that disobey him. And so what the writer is saying here, that Jesus cannot be ignored. You're either going to build your life upon him, or he's going to become one that causes you to stumble. And today you might be sitting here, and you've got to search your heart and determine, am I going to build my life upon Jesus as the cornerstone? Or is he going to be the one that causes me to trip? Causes me to stumble. And not in a negative way. What the writer is saying here is if Jesus isn't your standard, you're going to get confronted with the reality that he's alive. Jesus is alive. And as a priest, we come to him. And today, if you do not come to him, somewhere you will be confronted with the reality of Jesus. Somewhere you will be confronted with the reality of Jesus. Number two, we present our prayers. We present our prayers. We pray to him. So first, as a priest, we come to him. And then secondly, we present our prayers to him. That's one of our spiritual sacrifices that we make. We read in Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, giving thanks to him in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We call to pray. As priests, they ministered to the Lord, which was through their prayers. One of the sacrifices that they brought was their prayers. So as living stones, we've been put together, we call to pray. So the church in the Netherlands, we had a few of the saints in our congregation go and visit there. And they said that 90% of the church was at the prayer meeting before the service. 90% of the church. Where was the under 10%? I think they were serving. So they had most of the church at their prayer meeting the morning beforehand. And I think they understand something about being a priest that brings their sacrifices of praise. Bring their spiritual sacrifices of praise and offer that to the Lord. They're ministering. When they come together, they are ministering to the Lord together as living stones. And so I want to ask, what is your prayer life like? As a priest, we are called to pray. And to pray together as God's house. Yeah, but Kevin, coming earlier, 30 minutes before the meeting, that's tough, especially when we have kids. And Kevin, this is Free State. It's cold in the mornings. It warms up in the day, but in the mornings, it's cold. And now we have to, Leonard's organized heaters here for you in the morning to come and pray. But it's like, oh, it's cold. Isn't that the point of a sacrifice? It's costly. It's difficult, but you do it even though it is costly and difficult. The word sacrifice, when you say it, it almost sounds like meat on the grill. on the fire. Sacrifice. And so coming earlier might feel like a sacrifice. It might be costly. You might need to get your kids out of the house earlier. But that's the whole point of a sacrifice. It's costly. But it brings glory to the Lord. It spreads a wonderful aroma. Because that's the very nature of our King. He sacrificed his life so that we might live. And in one way, when we come and pray at 8:30 in the morning, or at 7 o'clock once a month, or whatever you do at prayer time, when you are doing that, and it's costly, and you're making a sacrifice, you are representing our Savior to those around you. Because his nature is one of sacrifice. And so now as a priest, you come to him, you present yourself, but you're also presenting your Savior as you're offering sacrifices. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? And it's a wonderful responsibility that we need to take up, is to come and pray. So as a people of God here, as congregations represented here, don't waste the opportunity to represent Jesus when there's times of prayer. So your prayer times at home, I trust. We don't want to waste this. I want you to think of that feeling again of things being wasted. I don't want you to go home and then look at the prayer time and go, I want you to look at it. It's like, I don't want to waste that opportunity to go and represent him. You're Kevin, but when I'm at the prayer meeting, I don't like to pray loud. It's difficult. Sacrifice. I don't know what to say. Just start with a simple prayer. Lord, I worship you. I thank you. Just start small. Just start small and confidence will grow. But can we be a people? Can we allow the Lord to awaken us in this area? That we'd be a lion that roars every time there's a prayer meeting. That we'd present ourselves and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm nervous. I feel overwhelmed. I feel fearful. I feel anxious. I feel like I might make a mistake. But Lord, I'm going to roar and represent you amongst the saints. So I want to encourage you, let's not do prayer meetings because it's something that we're expected to do. Let's start doing and attending prayer meetings because I'm a priest that wants to be active and present myself before the Lord and him to others. Thirdly, we offer our bodies. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We present our bodies. And so we don't do that because it's expected of us. We do that because we look at his mercy. We look at how he presented his body, himself, and we want to represent him to the world and to one another. And so what it practically means to represent, to sacrifice, to offer your body is to be present at community groups, at gatherings, at equips. It's to present your body. It's to be there. So in order to represent, you need to be present. And so therefore, community groups is not something that I feel forced to do. I look at this wonderful call to be a priest, and I realize part of my spiritual sacrifices as a priest is to present my body and to be present when the church gathers as living stones. That makes sense? So I offer myself. I give of myself. Fourthly, we offer praises. So what are spiritual sacrifices? I present myself, I present my prayers, I present my body. I'm physically present, I'm there. And then fourthly, I present my praises to him. The Bible is wonderful. Sometimes you wonder, what are these spiritual sacrifices that Peter spoke in Peter? And then we read scriptures and it clearly says, what are these spiritual sacrifices? Hebrews 13, verse 15 to 16, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God sacrifices of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. It says, continually offer God a sacrifice of praise. Continually. continually means to represent and represent and do it over and over again, sacrifices of praise. The difference for me between praise and worship is a response to who God is. So we see something of God and we see his mercy and we present our bodies as a living sacrifice in view of his mercy, that is our worship. Or we hear something about the goodness of God and we open up our hands and we worship him because he is good, and it's a response to who he is. Praise, on the other hand, is choosing to look away from your circumstances and turn your focus on God. So praise is not a response, it's a choice. That when we come together and I feel tired, I feel weary, I feel like I'm going through a difficult time, I'm a suffering saint, I'm going through a struggle, in that moment I choose to offer a sacrifice of praise. If the worship team is struggling and it sounds like a youth group that just started a week ago, and it's like, can you play instrument? Yes, okay, come play. And it's struggling and it feels like nothing is working. In that moment, I choose to praise God because I'm a priest. And when I come together as living stones, I choose to offer a sacrifice of praise. Even if I don't feel like it. So for me, I struggle to worship or praise here in the front. I'm either right in the front or in the aisle. Because when I jump into people's armpits. True story. True story. And so for me, I realized I want to praise God, but there's certain practical things that's difficult. So I find a space where I can freely worship him. Because when I come together, I want to offer him a sacrifice of praise. And I want to let go. Because he is good. I choose to worship him. So praise is not limited by how I feel, by the place that I am. Continually, I'm going to, despite the music, despite the vibe, I'm going to lift up praise to him because he is worthy. And so I continually choose to represent sacrifices of praise to him. Number 5, priests do good deeds. Priests do good deeds. Hebrews 11, verse 16, it carries on there from verse 15. It says, continually offer sacrifices of praise. And then it says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For such sacrifices God is pleased with. Do good and share with others. I want to commend the congregations here in Bloemfontein for the way that you hosted. You were true priests over this weekend. You represented Jesus. You represented the Father who's opened up his heart to us. You represented that to us as you open up your homes to us. And we want to say well done. Well done. Well done for sharing your food, sharing your beds. Well done for sharing your electricity. You've done good. You've done good. But now the thing is, we're not just hosting an event. We are priests. And the danger is, after the weekend, that we say, whoop, I've done my Christian duty. But we're actually called to be priests. So we need to open up our homes and do good to one another continually. Leonard has 6 stews waiting for him this week. It's a church that's going to do good to them as a family, which is wonderful. I love it. We told him he should have said he should have cried about his car, and he might have gotten a new car. And so you're doing a great job there. But I want to encourage you, there are people in your community groups that should not be overlooked. In the community group, listen to the needs that are around you and do good to one another. Because that's how we are priests. Priests are not those with fancy clothes and that stand up here with a microphone and minister. Priest is every single one of us doing good deeds every single day as we serve the Lord. Because we want to present ourselves to him and say, Lord, use me whatever way you choose to. And then I go and I live my life representing Jesus to those around me. And so that's why we do good to one another. It's not because it's a Joshian thing and our fridge is your fridge and my fridge is your fridge. And we don't do that because of the slogan. We do that because I'm a priest of the living God. And therefore, I do good to one another. And we just happen to have a nice slogan to make us excited about that. But that's not the motivation. The motivation is I've been called to do this. I've got the privilege to do this, and I've got the responsibility to do this. We in our congregation, when people are, when they have babies, we try and organize meals to bless them, especially the first few days, because those of you that had kids would know the first few days is it's crazy, especially if it's your firstborn. It's like, how do we do this? And now we still need to think of meals, and so we take people meals. We do good to one another, and there's a great opportunity to be a priest. And one of the single guys in our church, he was wondering, what can he do? He wants to contribute. And so he realized, okay, cool, there's meal rosters going out, but he doesn't know how to cook. So he went to one of the ladies in the congregation and said, look, I want to make meals for families when they have babies. Would you teach me to make one meal so that I can make that meal when there's opportunities to serve? You see, that's someone that's not wasting that call. That is someone that's not wasting the opportunity and the privilege. He said, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but there's an opportunity. I'm going to get myself in a position where I'm going to equip myself to do good. And so what opportunities are there around you in your congregation? You see, the danger is that we start thinking like those priests that I showed you in the first picture. We're like, okay, the paid staff, the elders, the pastors, the leaders need to do that. We shouldn't think the leaders need to do that. We should think, Lord, here I am. I'm your priest. What can I do? What can I do? And lastly, we present our gifts. We present. I want to say just, I can jump back quickly. Those that were prayed in here, you prayed in members of this house. But the Bible says in Peter, we read that there are living stones being put together. And today, in one sense, as you committed to serve with us, you said, I'm a living stone that will be built into these houses, these congregations here. And so as you've been built in, position yourself to serve and to contribute. Don't sit and watch. In one sense, we don't want you to come and watch us burn. I've stopped praying that. I used to pray, Lord, set me on fire and let people come and watch me burn. I used to pray that. I've stopped praying that. Because I realized as I read this, we are all called. We have all been chosen to be his priest. And so now my prayer has gone to, Lord, I'm going to go to that meeting. I'm going to share the word. Help me to set others on fire. I want to see others burn. I want others to see. I want to see others serve you. And so lastly, we call to contribute with our gifts. We call to contribute with our gifts. In 1 Peter 4, verse 7 to 11, it says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober mind, and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Quickly go to verse 10. I think you've got it. There we go. Each of you say should. The word, I went to go Google that because I'm actually Afrikaans. And what does should mean? It's a word that refers, eh? Would. Moot. Yeah, moot. That's very good. It's not what Google said, but that's right. Each of us should. It's a word that refers to obligation. We have a responsibility. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve one another. As priests, we represent and present ourselves to the Lord. We serve Him. And then we represent Him to one another. And we serve one another with the gifts that we've received. In 1 Corinthians, we read about this gifts of the Spirit that He distributes to us. And we need to serve one another with those gifts. That is to encourage, to prophesy. Maybe it's hospitality. Maybe it's leadership, whatever gift the Lord has given you to serve with that. My eldest, you saw the photo, he's 14 years old. And the Holy Spirit baptized him and he received tongues and he's been serving God and operating in the gifts that God has given him. And so apparently I've never seen this. I've just heard this. Probably he'll prophesy this Sunday. But every Sunday I'm not at church, he prophesies. And then I get feedback from youth meetings, and he prophesied. And it's like significant prophecies that literally shifts the whole meaning. Arat told me we had a boys' camp earlier in this year. He's 14, not even 14 years old yet, 13. And he prophesied, and he shared something that shifted the whole meeting at this youth camp. With older boys there, every 3 weeks he serves at kids' church. And you know what? I'm not saying this to say, look at my son. I'm sharing this with you because as a father, I'm blown away by the fact that he's representing Jesus to others. And so in one sense, what gives joy to my heart is knowing that my son is not wasting the opportunity and the privilege of being a priest in God's house. He's 14, not 13 years old. Some of you have been serving the Lord for longer than that. But most Sundays, you just sit on the chair and you watch, waiting to be asked. You don't need to be asked. You've been called. You've been chosen. God is wanting to use you. He's just looking for your availability and your willingness. And here's a 13-year-old, willing and available. I mean, he's very goofy at most times. But because he's willing, God is using him in a significant way. Because he's presenting himself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And then he's representing at kids' church. The kids love him. He's representing Jesus to them. When he shares his gifts, when he prophesies. Recently, we had a leaders meeting. And we had the kids part of the leaders meeting. And we just called a few leaders forward to prophesy over them. And one of the elders saw Leo sitting there and he said, come Leo, my son, come prophesy here. And so now he's standing there and it's like all these grown men around him and I saw the corner of my eye. He's nervous. He's very nervous. And he stood there and he called Harat, the one elder, and he said, I've got this word. And Harat said, share. My son didn't know the backstory of that leader. That guy served God full-time in a church, but then got hurt by the church and then said, I'll never go back to a church in my whole life. And for close to 20 years, he's never put his foot in a church. And then God radically saved his children. And then one Sunday when we had a youth service, he came because his kids asked him to please come. And God touched him in a significant way. And for the past year and a half, the Lord has started to work in his heart. And then Leo comes and he shares a prophetic word and he just says, like God's calling you out of a passive place to serve him again. And I can't remember the detail, but it was a very accurate, significant word. I've not given my kid prophetic training at home. I've not trained him. I've not told him how to do it because at most times I don't know what to do. But what he has done is he's presented himself to the Lord and said, Lord, use me. And then he's just made himself available. Each of us should serve one another. What is the giftings that God has given you? Are you using it to glorify God and to bless those around you? There's opportunities to serve practically. Kids and welcoming and even a community. It says when we come together, one should bring a song, one should bring a revelation, one should bring a teaching, one should bring a tongue, one should bring interpretation. At a community group, there's opportunity to be a blessing to one another. At community group, there's opportunity to use your gift as a faithful steward to bless those around you. So what each of us need to do is to say, Lord, before community, I'm going to present myself to you and say, Lord, would you use me? I think we're not being used because we're not making ourselves available. And so we get to community group and it's like, whoo, yay. Like, Aaron's, what did you prepare for us? Aaron's, tonight wasn't that great, eh? You should maybe prepare more. Aaron's, maybe you should just get us to share a bit more. Maybe we should pray more at community, Aaron's. Aaron's, you really need to, this group is... The numbers aren't great, Ernst. The vibe isn't great here. Ernst, you need to make a plan. That's not thinking like a priest. That's thinking like a spectator. A priest would say, Lord, how can I contribute to the health of my community group? How can I be a blessing to those that's going to sit in that living room? How can I encourage them? How can I do good to them? Lord, I'm coming to the community group tonight and I'm going to offer sacrifices of praise to you. I'm ready to, when we're going to praise you or when we're going to pray, I am going to contribute because I'm a priest. I'm a priest. We recently had a lady come to our church. She was in a lesbian marriage for 16 years. 16 years, she came to our church, diagnosed with terminal cancer. And just felt that the Lord said, come to me. So she came to church. Ewan McRae was there preaching about Mephibosheth, the cripple that came to sit at the king's table. And as he shared that message, the Lord touched her deeply and told her that she's that cripple. She's the one that's sitting with the shame. And God is inviting her to come and sit at his table, the king's table. So she opened up her life and just said, Lord, here I am. Committed her life to the Lord. Asked if she could see us that Monday. We sat and we had a meeting. And that Monday, she looked at us and said, Kevin and Lizaldi, actually our neighbor. She said, you know my story. But I'm just here, that cripple, asking for a seat at the table. She committed her life to the Lord and said, look, I don't know how this is going to look, but I want to submit my ways. I want to submit my life completely to Jesus. What she did is she realized that Jesus has become a stone that she was constantly falling over. And then that day, she realized he is the cornerstone. I need to build my life on him. She came to him and said, today, from this day onwards, I'm going to build my life according to your ways, according to your standards. She said to the Lord, Lord, I'll serve you, but don't take my marriage, and I don't want to join the church. Today, she's divorced. She's broken that marriage so that she can serve God in wholeness. And we just prayed her in as a member 2 weeks ago. She said, Lord, don't take my marriage, and I'm not going to join the church. She came to him and said, Lord, according to your ways. And over a course of a year and a bit, she's constantly gave herself over and over because she continually presented herself to the Lord, presented herself to the Lord. 3 months in, we're asked to look, are you going to join the community? She told us that the Lord said, join community. We told her, well, you can't join community in your home if you're alone. You've got to come. You need to present yourself so you can present the Lord to one another. She says, join the community group. And gradually the Lord has done a deep work in her life. So we prayed her in as a member. And this is what she said on Facebook. 26 years ago, I rebelliously and angrily walked away from church and promised myself I would never, ever go back to church. Never say never. The God I serve is a God of restoration, and he will restore what the locust has eaten. I see so many things being brought full circle in my life. My story is his now. My journey in the past year has been unbelievably challenging, heartbreaking, and life-changing. But I've learned to set my mind on internal things and to be thankful for the manna I have for today and grateful that tomorrow his mercies are new. Diagnosed with terminal cancer, in a lot of pain, God has renewed, healed, and restored me in ways I've never thought possible. He's done great and mighty things. I am honored to be back in a body of believers who have healed wounds they didn't even know I carried, just through friendship, fellowship, and love, and reflecting Christ to me. Wonderful testimony of the church being priests, doing good to her, reflecting Christ to her. You see, if we rise up and we don't waste that calling to be priests, this is the impact that we can have. She didn't say thank the leaders. She thanked the body. She thanked the priesthood for their role in her life. You don't always know who you're sitting next to, but maybe that person is a cripple asking for a seat at the table. I was not only given a seat at the table, I found family and friends. You don't always know. Okay, we've read that. To those who have walked with me in the past year, thank you for holding me through the storm and praying for me. Can you see priest language there? People that have done good, people that have prayed. I'm grafted back in, rooted, and forevermore I will abide in the vine. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Never forget, we are all just walking each other home. 26 years out of church, 16 years in a broken covenant, and God has restored. But God used priests to do that. So will you be those that will impact lives like that from this day onwards? 2 weeks ago, just before we prayed her in to membership, she came to our house. She said she just got a call from the oncologist. I said, that tumor in your body that's causing that amount of pain, I don't know what's happening, but it's busy dissolving and breaking up in your body. The oncologist said, I don't know what's going on here, but what I want to do is I want to get that out of your body to study what is happening, because I don't understand. She looked at us, she's like, I'm blown away by what God is doing. I'm sad because I was planning to see him in a few months' time. She said, it's like the wind has blown out of my sails. I'm like, I was ready to meet him. But it seems like God is wanting to use me for a little while longer. God is wanting to use you for a little while longer. Every single one of you.